Hello, everyone. This is Stephen McGarvey for LifeAudio.com. Our highest priority at Life Audio is to create content that helps Christians find practical ways to apply their faith to all the challenges of life. And right now, it seems like there's no greater challenge we all face than the coronavirus global pandemic. In an effort to quickly respond to what could be the most critical issue of our time, we've partnered with pastor and author Daniel Darling to create this new podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. Dan is the Vice President of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And here he takes a look at the host of issues and problems created for us by this pandemic and how Christians can face them with courage and a hope for our future. While the national outlook seems bleak, we know that Christians can be a source of light in a time of darkness. We hope that this podcast can be a light for you and that you find it insightful and encouraging.
Welcome back to this special podcast series, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. This is Dan Darling, VP of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, a pastor here in Nashville, Tennessee, and author. Today, I'd like to think through Psalm 91. This is a great passage, I think, a great psalm to read. You know, the psalms are often where we go during times of trouble or uncertainty. Someone said, and I'm not sure if it's a commentator or somebody, but that the rest of the Bible is God speaking to us and psalms is us speaking to God. And I like the way that is. And anytime you ever wonder if you can be honest with God or if you can speak with God or if the feelings and emotions you're having during a crisis like this one are legitimate, and if you know, if you're not being spiritual because you have natural fears and terror and all those things, read the Psalms. Here are people like David and Moses and others just crying out to God with their real and raw fear and emotions. Psalm 91, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. He himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all of your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. Because he has his heart set on me, I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. So there's a lot of really great things here. One, it just talks about God's protection. We live under the protection of the Most High, dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Everybody who's a human being lives in some way under the protection of God. God who sustains the universe, who it says in Colossians that Christ holds all things together by the word of his power. For if you're a living, breathing human being, you are living under the umbrella of God's protection, whether or not you acknowledge him or not. But I think what the psalmist is getting at is an even deeper kind of protection, that if you know God, and we would say if you know God through Christ, that you can take a refuge spiritually under his protection, that despite what happens to us, we can rest in his goodness and his grace, in his sovereignty, that God cares for his children. He's our refuge. He's the place we run when everything else is falling apart. He's where we go. He's our fortress. When nothing else seems strong, when all the institutions around us seem to fail or not be competent or not be able to handle things, we can trust him. He talks a lot about taking refuge under his wings. His faithfulness is a protective shield. It's God's faithfulness that he is unchanging, that the seasons change. We look around and we say, spring, summer, fall, winter, at least here in Nashville, Tennessee, and Chicago area where I'm from, the Midwest. Those are signs of his faithfulness, that God is faithful to for the sun to rise and the sun to set and for the seasons to change. He's a faithful God. We can trust his faithfulness. And then he says, he will rescue you from the destructive plague. You will not fear the terror of the night, the plague that stalks in darkness. And elsewhere he talks about pestilences and plagues. This does not mean that you won't get the coronavirus, that you won't get COVID-19. If you're a Christian, that you won't get it. This does not mean, as some teach, that if you just have enough faith, that you'll be free from that. No, that's not at all what it's teaching. What it's saying is God will protect us even in the midst of hardship and fear. And because we are Christians, because we're the people who look forward, because we know that ultimately God will heal us, our bodies, in the final resurrection, even a plague, even a pestilence, even a pandemic that may cause us to get something like COVID-19, which may make us sick, and even in the worst case scenario, if we died, that's still not the worst thing that can happen to us, because we believe that Christ has defeated sin and death in the grave, and one day he will remake our bodies and restore us again. So this is what it's saying, that even if the worst thing happens in this plague, that we can take refuge, that it can't touch us, really. Nothing can touch us as the people of God, because we believe in the future resurrection. And I just love this. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. I love when he says, you will not fear the terror of the night. I don't know about you, but I've had some nights in the last few weeks and months where I've just been gripped by fear of this coronavirus. Part of it is because I've read some of these worst case scenarios that have later been pulled back and have been revised. And I made the mistake in many ways of sort of catechizing my soul toward fear and terror. And in the night, I couldn't sleep. God promises to give us peace in the night. He promises to give us that we don't have to have terror in the night toward the worst thing happening to us. We don't have to fear, because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. If we dwell in Christ, if we abide in him, if he is our dwelling place, then no matter what happens to us physically, no harm can come to us, because we know and we trust that Jesus is coming again. We trust that he is going to make all things new in the kingdom of God. We trust that he's going to one day heal our bodies as well as our souls. We trust that everything he allows us to go through is for our good and for his glory. Even pain, even hardship, even suffering. We know that he is stronger than the virus, that he has defeated sin and death in the grave. We know that he is alive. And this is what I think is important. It says, because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. As Christians, we have to set our hearts on Christ. And this is something I have to tell myself every day throughout this. And beyond this, when life gets back to whatever normal is, because he has set his heart on him, I will deliver him. I will protect him. God will deliver us from fear. He will deliver us from terror. Not to say we shouldn't be vigilant, not to say we shouldn't obey all the CDC guidelines and all the local officials. We should, because we're doing this to love our neighbors. We're doing this to protect ourselves. Now, faith does not mean that we are reckless and stupid. Faith means that we're vigilant and we do everything wise. As the people of God, we can be the people of hope. And God can rescue our hearts and deliver our hearts from fear and terror. And we can walk with confidence and courage and hope. Why? If we set our hearts on him, if we remember how powerful God is, if we remember that this virus is powerful and it's destructive and it's awful, but it's not the most powerful thing in the universe. If we remember that our politicians and our leaders may be good or they may be bad. They have power. They have wisdom. They're gifted in many ways. Our healthcare professionals are gifted. Our scientists, our disease, infectious disease specialists are gifted and powerful and wise. Or they may be incompetent or they may not be good. But nobody, none of them is as powerful as God. We have to remember that God is in control of the universe. God rules over creation. And Christ has defeated the curse which sends plagues like this. So we have to push through that fear and that terror. We have to push through that those feelings and look toward Christ, who is returning one day to set up his kingdom. And so we have the same fears and emotions and worries as the rest of the world. But unlike everybody else in the world, unlike those who do not know Jesus, who do not have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, we can be the people of hope. We can be the people who can see through this crisis, and that what no matter what happens in our country, in our community, in our church, in our family, to us, no matter what happens, we are the people of hope. We are the people who look to God for strength. Man, I hope this is you. I hope today, as you're going about your business, as you're sheltered in place in your house, as you're whatever you're doing, that this Psalm, Psalm 91, this word from God, breathed out by God to you, gives you strength today. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty, the God of the universe, who hung the stars, who breathed life into human beings, who created everything, is Lord over creation. He's more powerful than this virus. He's more powerful than this plague. He's more powerful than the economic distress you're facing. He's more powerful than the circumstances in your life right now, whatever they are. He will get you through this, and he will get you through safe to the other side one day in the New Jerusalem, in heaven, with a perfected body and soul, living forever with Jesus. This is our hope. And folks, I hope you can grab hold of that today as you go about your day. Thank you for joining me today for this episode of Christians in the Time of Coronavirus.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared To Who is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.